John 3, 7 and 1 Peter 2, 23. If you turn to those two scriptures, we'll start with that. And we want to lay a foundation, and we have been laying a foundation about, you know, we want to lay a foundation for about being saved, being born again, and what happens. And so my sermon title tonight is, let me just find what I'm going to say here. It says, what happens after the day you receive Jesus? What happens after you receive new life? The day after salvation, in other words. The day after salvation, so a new life in Him. And we want to talk about that. So our topic, covers new birth, a new birth experience, eternal life, life in the Spirit, and attached to that is growing up, growing spiritually. And let's go to John chapter 3, verse 7. Just before we read those scriptures, I just want to let you know that we're doing healing services once a month. And I felt led to do this, and I felt led to start the prayer and to start to go in that direction because I felt God wants to emphasize these things, and that we need to learn about prayer. We need to believe God together. And I want to invite you, if you can. We had about, 11, 12, 14 people coming regularly. So if you want to join that in prayer time, and you're invited to come. And so we'll learn more. And then we want you to practice, and we want you to learn. And maybe you'll have a turn to lead the group someday. So don't, if you're new, I'm not going to make you do something you're not going to, I won't embarrass you or anything. I just want to. So last night we asked questions. If someone asks you, pray for them, you know, my dad or my uncle's in the hospital, what would you do? You know, so we ask questions, that's what we talk about it. How would you approach that situation? Because many things can happen during that time. So how would you pray for, if somebody said, we cover different types of prayer, and then we talk about, people say, well, we're going to pray over the city, and we're going to tear all the devils down. Make sure that they don't bother anybody. Well, that ain't going to happen. And there's people like they're persistent thinking that they can pray over a city and make Jesus Lord over the city. Well, Jesus is not Lord over the city. I don't care how many signs you put all over the place, He's not Lord over the city. You can confess it over your own life, but not over everybody else. And we had a man here, an older gentleman. He used to put signs everywhere. And I thank God for that, but he's not Lord over everybody. Okay, I don't know if you agree with that, but I'm telling you, that's the way it is. And so if it was so, then everybody gets saved and everything be going good and you'd have lots of money. And so we're going to look at that. So we want to look at, challenge some of our thinking, because people think they can just pray over everything. Make it happen, my dad's sick, come pray for him, just lay hands on him and get him healed. Well, dad's not going to get healed if he doesn't believe. Unless God does something out of the ordinary, and usually doesn't happen. So we have to believe. I don't care how anointed that an evangelist is, you're not going to get healed if you don't believe. You might fall over to the power and get something there, but you got to keep what you have. I mean, the devil can steal from you. So, Romans, or at least John 3, 7. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Everybody say must. That means you have to do this. This is not like, our church doesn't teach that. We don't teach that in our Catholic church. I was born Catholic. I was born and raised in Catholic church. And we didn't think about it. We didn't talk about this. But what we emphasize with baptism, we emphasize baptism in water to get us saved. And there's a whole bunch of confusion there about that in that situation. And consequently, when I got older, when I was 24 years old, I didn't know about being saved, and I needed Jesus, and I heard it from a non-Catholic person, which was a Baptist minister by the name of Billy Graham, and I got born again. Hallelujah. And got thoroughly saved, and we're going to talk about these things from the Scripture. What happens after the day you're born again? So, Jesus said, you must be born again. Then, as a supporting scripture, we use 1 Peter 2, 1:23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God that you receive gave you the ability to be born again. That seed was planted in your heart as you received it. And it was you were born again. You were born instantly. And you receive a new heart. Brand new spirit. Everything that was in your life, every sin you committed was blotted out. And every other sin that you might commit in the future is covered under the same thing if you would confess it. Amen. And so we want to look at this subject. So we talked about in that time, born again is not a natural experience. It's a spiritual experience, because Jesus explained that to that man who was a religious man. He said, natural people will get natural people and spiritual people. Only the Holy Spirit can produce these new creatures, new beings. He speaks about that in verse 5 and 6 there. And so we talked about that, and we said to you that after you're born again, something happens to you in your life. We said born again people, truly born again people who are taught in the word, do not go sleep around. They do not commit adultery, fornicate. They don't go taking drugs and feel good about it. They can't smoke without being convicted in their heart that it's not for them. They don't lie and cheat on their taxes. and they don't abuse people. You know, and as far as the First Nation people is concerned, and for me, some of our First Nations people are so angry at the church in general. That Jesus, like those who believe in Jesus and are what they call the church, they're the ones that hurt our people. And so consequently, you turn against the church. Well, the people who abused the First Nations people in those schools were not Christians, I believe. They're not, couldn't be Christians and actually do that. Okay, guys. Don't look at me like you're mad. Just say, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, that's good. Yeah. So I wrote a book, and part of that book was, Native spirituality and Christianity. I wrote some kind of an argument about that, so you can explain that to somebody. So we want to understand that a little bit more. I didn't go into great detail, but I explained that in there. And so that's why people are against, church, or we call religion. Okay? So we don't want to, we don't want to confuse religion with Jesus. Because sometimes people make religion out of stuff, right? So you have to, religion and do's and don'ts and formalism and that. And that's why, sometimes our people, they criticize church. So I don't have to go into a church to meet God. Well, I don't have to go into, likewise, I don't have to go into a sweat lodge to meet God. Hello? And I don't have to smudge to get forgiven of my sins. That's formalism. Now, I don't know if you're going to get mad at me or not, but I'm going to try to tell you what's religion and what's God. I don't have to go to an elder to talk to him about my problems and tell him about things of God. I can go right to God. I can go into God's presence myself, and that's why it's a new covenant. God made a way for every person to get to go to God the Father himself. Amen. God will go come in your heart and live inside you. Hallelujah. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I love this woman. She prays for me all the time, you know, and I'm glad she does. You see what I did? Point at her. So, let me just say, this is something new. Now we're going to cover some new material. Coming to Christ gives us a new life in new relationships, or a new relationship with Him and with everybody else. When you come to Jesus, you have a brand new relationship with God Almighty, but also your life changes, and consequently your relationships changes around you.
That's right.
Amen. So it does. I mean, you know, first of all, when you get saved, God expects you to be different because He knows you're different. Yeah. Jeremiah said, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. So something new happened to you.
Yeah.
Amen. Something new happened to you. You can't just hide it. I don't want to let no light shine. You know? I used to like wine, but I don't love wine anymore. I love the Holy Ghost wine. Now, tomorrow morning is a big change for me. I'm going about to get some new teeth. Like, everybody's looking. You know, when I talk to them, because I lost my front tooth in the bottom here, and when I talk to them, they look at me. Like, are you falling in love with me or what? So, you know, that's what happens when you're past 60, maybe. I don't know. Joanne's laughing at me, too, here. Okay, so, introduction here to this section. So, God gives us a brand new life and a new start. After you've given your heart to Jesus or to God, here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, just as everyone dies, this is new living, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, because in the beginning we all came from that seed. We see through the teachings, we understand this. So it says in there, in the New Living Translation, just as everyone dies because we belong to Adam, we'll see some more of this later, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. So when you come to Jesus, you are given a new life. You get a new start, a brand new start again. And so, that's really consistent with the rest of the Bible, because Jeremiah prophesied it, Ezekiel prophesied it, Isaiah talks about this, and Bible says because of Adam's sin of disobedience, death, or what they say, spiritual death, passed upon every person in the whole world, all human beings, in other words, but because of Jesus' obedience to God and his life was passed on, or eternal life was passed on to every person who would receive him as Lord and Savior. That's pretty good, eh? Notice Romans 5:15, New Living Translation. Romans 5:18, New Living Translation. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness or obedience brings us a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. So we sitting here right now, if you've been born again, you have new life. And you know what? It never gets old. It never gets stale. There's no end to this newness of it. It's eternal. Huh? It never gets old. So you can renew yourself, your commitment to Jesus every day, and you can renew your love for Jesus and hit whatever he loves every day. It's not because of us doing good things that we got saved, but God's rich mercy saved us through Jesus. Notice Titus 3:5, New English Translation. New English Translation. He says, it's not because, he said over here, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life. Through, you know, everybody say new birth. Say new life. So we're talking about having a brand new life, brand new beginning. And if you ever fell away, you can have that again. Isn't that wonderful? You can start anew again and say, man, if you failed yesterday, last night, you can just start. Lord, I just said sorry about that. And then start again. Titus 3:5. Did you get that verse of scripture? Everybody say, I have a wonderful life. No. Now, God has a wonderful plan for us. And I believe your best days are ahead of you. If your best days are behind, man, you have a sorrowful life. You better be looking for better things to happen instead of the Boston Bruins every week. Toronto blew it last night, man. Too, so bad. I hate Toronto. I'm being converted to the Bostonian people. No, I just don't like when they lose. Okay, pray for me. Okay, so God has a wonderful plan for your future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, in the Common English Bible. Everybody say the Common English Bible. Because there's people that are not common. So you have to, you know, you want the common one. Right? It says, this is what it says in here. I know the plans I have in mind for you. If God knows something about your future, you better start asking him. He says, declares the Lord, there are plans for peace. If you don't have any peace, man, you're in the wrong plan. If you're not if you don't have peace going down this road, you're not in the right plan. You get up and have a peace in the morning. You say, "Man, I'm on the right road. Thank you, Jesus." He said, "Peace, not disaster. Like there's no God doesn't plan anything that you're gonna have bankruptcy. You're gonna get a major illness. You're gonna lose your job. He's gonna kill your children before their age, before the time." You know, your feet are going to get crooked or whatever. I mean, God has a great plan for you, not sickness. He said, to give you a future filled with hope. Woo, glory to God. So what happens after you receive Christ? What kind of changes can you expect after you receive Jesus? What should your response be to God? What should your response be to the people around you? How should you respond to the people when they respond a certain way? You may not always fully be aware of what's taking place in your life. You might feel excited about your life in Christ, but also, again, you might feel afraid because of what people might think of you. What will my friends say? I go to that church called Faith City Church. You know what? They get drunk. They roll around on the floor once in a while. Amen. And so you get so, oh, I don't want to be associated with those guys. You know? Well, you are. You know? And so here, so not everybody might feel excited about your change because they want you to stay the same. Some people want you to change, but not that much. Right? When I got born again, my mom says to me, don't change your religion. And other people told me the same thing. You know, you change your religion. I had Jesus. Jesus was always involved there, both any every church that we know of. It's just that I made him more, it made it more personal. I let him lead the way, and I don't no longer just do what I want to do. I ask him, how should I go about this thing? And so I don't do what I used to do because I have the power to say no now that I never used to before. So what happens after you got saved? Or what happened when you got saved? You might not know everything. Romans 10:9 says, after when you received Jesus in your life, when you got saved, here's Paul's word, Romans 10:9-10. He said this, because if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that term, being saved, is commonly associated with being born again. Being born again gets you saved. It means the same thing. Now watch the next verse of scripture. We see this everywhere. We hear that all the time. He says, trusting with your heart leads to righteousness. And confessing with your mouth leads to salvation. Everybody say salvation. So salvation is associated with being saved, with being born again. It means the same thing. The word actually salvation has this inclusiveness with it. It means healing. It means prosperity. It's all in the same thing. It means deliverance, safety, and preservation. That's what the Bible says. What the, you know, actually Scofield, I think, says that. He's a Greek scholar. Salvation includes all those things. So if you're born again, God cares about you, you know, your protection of your life. He cares about that you have enough money to pay your bills and to have enjoyment with that money, to enjoy your labor. He didn't want you to just go, just barely make payday, and then by 5:30, the money's all gone. And then you have to borrow again Monday morning. And that's called, when that happens, that's called poverty. It's the spirit of poverty, and the poverty is working in people's lives that they don't have enough. So, we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live on, like Brother Hagin used to say, on barely getting along street. Right down Grumble Alley, right? So, you know, we don't want to live there. Barely get along street, right down the Grumble Alley. So, now, some refer to the day of salvation, which scripture is correct about being saved, but the term may also not always resonate with everyone, those terms. Some call it receiving new life, which is one of our titles of our message, and getting eternal life. A lot of people don't recognize what eternal life is. They say, have you received eternal life? Like one guy, you know, he says, you know, he was going around witnessing. I told my wife, her and Kendra are going to be the major ones and go knocking on doors. Because she said, you know, I'm scared telling you about Jesus. I'm telling you, I never done. I'm scared to go tell people about Jesus. You know, how many of you, I bet most of you are scared to go knock on doors or tell somebody, excuse me, do you know Jesus? They sometimes will tell you, do you know where the mental hospital is? That's what they think. They think you're foolishness. That's what 1 Corinthians says. People say you believe in Jesus, you're foolish, you're crazy. They say the cross is foolishness. I'm serious. That's what it says in the Bible. Because when I got saved, they thought, man, that Roma's crazy now, man. I know he used to go to AA, and he was just he was crazy then, but now he's really crazy. So even now, maybe people think, you know, if you're in your office somewhere you tell, and they know you're saved, or you're telling them about Jesus, then you feel a little intimidated. Like when I walk into a hospital, I'm a man of God, and I walk into an ICU, and the patient is all, you know, he's unconscious, he's got tubes everywhere, and the parents call me, everybody calls me. How would you feel? And the nurse is looking at you. You know? And you're supposed to believe that the healing belongs to people and that God could save that kind of person. That's part of salvation. And I've seen people come out of those things. And people phone me and pray for me. They say, pray for me, and I pray for them, and they get saved, and they get healed, and they get recovered from my phone call. Like two nights ago, last night, the other night, people called me. They were students of mine. And they were just scared because they downloaded this app, and it says you can connect with spirits, and they get connected with spirits, and all of a sudden somebody starts playing the piano in their house, turning the lights on and scratching people. Hello. And so they want me to listen, you guys, listen to me. They want me to do something about it. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, I said. So I have to deal with it. I'm a pastor. So I prayed for them and got all of them saved. On Messenger. I'm serious. I told that spirit, leave those people alone. Get out of there. So, you know, I mean, we have this occasion you got to believe in Scripture. You got to believe in the Bible. If you're going to minister to people like that with those kind of things, you got to believe in the Bible.
That's right.
I've had spirits talk to me. Yeah. Said, you want a Coke? No, they didn't say that. They said other things, which was scary. But, you know, I mean, this born-again experience takes you to places you've never been before. That's what, remember when they were coming across, the Israelites were crossing through the Jordan, and they said, follow those priests, you know, he's going to take you to a place you've never been before. Some of you, in this new life, you're going to go do things and say things where you've never said before, you've never been before. You're going to be with people you never thought you'd be with. You'll be hanging out with people that you actually didn't like before, and all of a sudden you love them. It's amazing how God changes you. Right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the new life, where we are right now. So after receiving salvation, something happens the moment you accept Christ, not after you die physically. Like, you need to know you're saved now before you actually physically die, because if you physically die, your spirit leaves your body, and you better be saved before, but that spirit better be saved before it leaves the body.
Amen.
Because eternal life happens in this side of life. And you can't pray people out of hell by lighting candles and praying to some saint to get them out of there. We're going to kick some sacred cows out tonight. That's because when I was born, when I was born into this church, this is what we used to do. We light candles for all the souls that departed. Well, the Bible says to be, to depart is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. Amen. I don't always get calls like that. I do get calls like that every few months. I get calls like that regularly, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I told Gene today, I don't have a regular job. I said, it's not 9 to 5. It's like 9 to almost anything. And yesterday, right after I did my leadership meeting on Sunday, I was dealing with preparing for a funeral for the morning. So that night, I had to find singers to help me for the next service in the morning, Monday morning. I had to find somebody to help me. They wanted me to fly up north to do a funeral. I said, I'm not going to go to a funeral up north. I'm going to send somebody else. So it's funny, everybody wants to be a minister, but they don't want to follow and do those kind of things. They want to sing only the one that they want to sing. Because, you know, you're a minister, you're called on to do all kinds of things, right? So anyway, we got a minister to help out and another guy to help out, and thank God for that. And that's probably one of the best organized native funerals I've ever been to. Was on that yesterday, on Monday. Was it Monday yesterday or the day before? Yeah, the day before. Because I was preaching last night too. Where am I? Okay. look at that. So after we see, after it's not after you die, not after you leave the world, because if you die before you get saved, you're lost. That's what it says. You're lost, and you can't come back this way to do it all over again. If you read your Bible, you'll know all these things. But I'm telling you these things in case you don't remember or you don't know, it'll remind you some things. Jesus said in John 3:14 to 17, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, how many of you remember reading about Moses lifting up a serpent in the wilderness? Let me see your hand. Okay, some of you remember. And if you don't know, why did Moses lift up a serpent in the wilderness? Huh? So that people could get healed, right? God gave him that instruction. Well, why did he have to look at he said, make a brazen serpent. I told my wife the other day, I said, I wonder how long did Moses crafted that serpent? Was it really fast or like, what did he use? What are you doing? Well, I'm making a serpent. Meanwhile, there's people dying. He says, 250,000, I think, died, right? Or 200, I can't remember what it was. They died there. And the Bible says when he erected that serpent on a pole, they said, look at that serpent. Don't look at those snakes in there. Look at look at that serpent. And how hard it is not to keep looking at the snakes. Yeah. Tell your little children, look at those snakes. Look at over there. Well, how many people know the snake represents the devil? And the snake represents actually sin. And all associated with death. The serpent on a pole, Jesus became death and sin for us on a pole. Amen. When Jesus was on the cross, he became the serpent on the pole. He became you and I. The Bible says that God laid our sin on Jesus. He became sin on the cross for us. The Bible said he died with our sin. His nature became infested with our sin, and he died spiritually first, and then he gave up his ghost, and he went down. And the serpent represents that. So when they looked at the serpent, they were actually looking at Jesus prophetically. And so that's what he says. That's what it means there. Jesus is talking about himself here, about this prophecy, about what happened over there in the desert. It's all connected, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's all connected. Talk to my wife. She teaches a blood covenant. So I'm going to ask her again after. Now, quit sending me messages. Okay. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that Jesus had to go to the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. If you believe in Jesus, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Here's where you see the term, eternal life, new life, eternal life, same thing. Salvation means the same thing. Being born again means the same thing. Refer to the same thing. For God so loved the world that he said from heaven, I love you. Somebody said, you know. Then he yelled from heaven. God so loved the world, from heaven he yelled, I love you, all of you. No, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And one little girl, kid in nursery said, what is Jesus? Jesus is the only forgotten son. That's what the scriptures thought. He's the only forgotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be, here we see the term again, be saved. We see this term again, be saved. Are you saved? How many of you are saved? You have eternal life in you. Jesus is your Lord. He's your Savior. You are born again. And if you died right now, you'll be in the presence of Jesus, presence of God. You don't have to have, whatever. I mean, angels will be taking you right there, taking you to heaven. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I died, and you know, an angel took me. The Bible says, Jesus said that when Lazarus died, he was a leper, I guess, and he says, the dogs came lick his sores. He was outside what's this guy's name? What's his name? He's a king? The rich man? Did he have a name? He did have a name. We'll call him George. Okay, so when George was there, he saw that over there happening. The Bible said he's rich. He was dressed in the finest clothes, eh? But the Bible said he died and he went to hell. And said when Lazarus died, angels took him. They took him in the very presence of God. Did you know, as we talked 2 weeks ago, we said that every one of you has at least one angel with you from the time you're born in this world. And then when you die, the Bible says they'll usher you into the presence of God. So talk to your angel. Talk to your angel. Say, angels, help me here, over here. Protect me. Like Mark Davies coming on Sunday. Remember the story he told us? He went over to North Africa and they kill Christians over there. So he went there and he said he was looking around. He didn't know where to go and he's sweating like he usually is. He went to the mall and the malls are different from ours. I'm looking around, he says, and some man came to him. He said, I know who you're looking for. He said, oh, this guy got to be a spy. He must be spying on me. He's going to try to kill me or capture me. He said, I'm going to show you something. Come follow me. I'll show you. They got in the taxi. And they drove around, got off a taxi, got off another one, got into another cab, and went all over the places. And the guy took him to a church. Went to a church, underground church. I don't know if it's actually underground, but it's an underground church. It's disguised as a costume party. No, I'm just kidding. But they were all in disguise, eh? One guy looked like Mickey Mouse. One guy looked like, Donald Duck. No, he went to this place, and he introduced him to the pastor. And the pastor shook his hand, and the guy was going to say thank you. And Mark Davies said this himself. You ask him. He said the guy just disappeared in a second. Bang, he's gone. That's an angel. And you have people that you know that tell us about these things, that angels are real. Amen. Benny Hinn, we went to Benny Hinn's meeting. Remember Benny Hinn told us? He said, I opened my eyes one night. I woke up at nighttime. I saw all these little angels around, sitting there. Some of them are big ones, and they're all looking at me. They're wondering what I'm going to say or do. See, angels are around you right now. They're just wondering, when are you going to start saying something? The Bible says that angels are our helpers. And when you pray, they go and do something what you prayed about. Hallelujah. I hope you're enjoying this because I worked hard on this. I even tried to, anyway. So the Apostle Paul used this term when he's speaking to the Philippian jailer. When that man asked him a question like everybody's asking today, they're asking a question, how am I going to be saved? They say, what should I do? Should I, like these guys yesterday, they phoned me. They said, we can't get rid of the spirit. We shut off the radio. We shut off that phone because they got the thing through the app. We shut off everything. We shut off the car, shut off everything, and we still hear those noises. And all these lights and whatever thing, they show up. But, they said, how do you shut it off? I said, well, you invited them. I'm serious that you invited them in your territory. I said, the only way I don't want to get out of it is come to Jesus. Amen. They said, yeah. I said, yeah. If you wanted the way I know it. He said, we tried everything. We took holy water. We put pepper around here. And we find any kind of ingredient. We thought we'd just get these things away. We tried this, sprinkled this on, splashed that on, and showed them the Bible. We even used the Lord's name. I said, but it wouldn't go away. I said, but you have to be born again to use the Lord's name for it to be effective, because the name doesn't belong to you. Remember the seven sons of Sceva?
Yeah.
They try to use the Lord's name on these spirits, and these guys laugh at them. That key doesn't work for you. So you have to, it has to belong to you.
Amen.
And so they asked me about that. And so, like these guys said, what must I do to be saved? How do I get rid of these demons? How do I get healed? They're asking all these questions. And you are supposed to have some answers for them. What do you do? Well, if somebody is sick, you don't come and call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. You do it. You're there. They said, I said to somebody, what would you do if somebody had a demon in them and it's like 3 a.m. in the morning and you got to get ready, you got to get help them out. What you going to do? They said, call pastor. I said, don't call me. You're the one that's there. So, notice this chapter here in Acts 16:26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, seeing the doors open, drew out a sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what now must I do to be saved? Here's the term again, being saved. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe. That means you have to have faith in that, trust in that, trust and rely on Jesus right now. Do it right now. And verse 34 says, when he had brought them into his house, this man, he gave them food. He says, they sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God and all his house. There's a scripture here, a kind of a note beside this thing, and that is that when you get born again, your children can also be saved. You can believe God for your children to be delivered.
Amen.
If they are in the devil's camp, you can believe for them. Just like Moses said, we're leaving Egypt. And the Pharaoh said, no, you can all go, all the old people go, but all the children must stay here. And he said, no, I'm taking my kids with me. We're not leaving here. And he said, no, listen, you have to leave all your animals. No, we have to take our animals. We have to sacrifice to God. And he said, you know, we're not going to leave one hoof behind. Yeah. Amen. I'm taking it all. It belongs to me. So each one of you have kids that are in drug addiction. You have people who are alcoholic. You have problems with your kids out there. You need to pray and believe. Say, God, I'm bringing them in the name of Jesus. I have the authority. I have scripture to believe for them in Jesus' name. Am I the only one excited about that? Are you excited about that? I wonder if you could go ahead and do a little dance. Amen. So we need to get excited about it. I should have asked Dave to do that. What must I do to be saved? I mean, what are you talking about saved? We tell people, you know, are you saved? They say, what do you mean saved? I have a nice house. I have a nice job. I got money in the bank. Well, he didn't do the rich man any good when he had all that stuff. He didn't save him from anything. Is it over already? Okay, everybody stand up. Stand up. Come on. In the name of Jesus. The Lord has spoken. Send one of his angels over here. Amen. We'll carry on with this same thought, maybe. I think we're going to carry on and talk about new life. What happens to you? What happened in your life? We'll talk about the expectations, how you're supposed to behave, and different things like that. Amen. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the glorious word of God. We thank you that being born again is a supernatural experience. It's not a natural experience. We can't produce this ourselves. Only by the Spirit of God can this be produced. Thank you by the Holy Spirit that anyone here in the sound of my voice, whether watching online on live stream, whether they watch this on YouTube or whatever media we have produced out here, on our website or whatever, they can receive Jesus now. They can receive eternal life right now. They can confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Invite him in their lives. Get born again. Get saved. Get salvation. Receive eternal life. Have a new life. Have a new start. So I want to thank you that each one of us here, in case we need to restart our life, if we've been slacking off and letting things slip in our lives and taking our salvation for granted, and say, oh, I'm born again. Forget the other people. Forget the rest of the world. I'm just going to have fun by myself. No, God wants us to be an example out there. He wants us to be able to witness to people whenever the chance arises. And so, Father, we dedicate our lives today that we want to be the one there to answer the call. Who will go for us, you said. And the Bible says, he said, I will. I'll go. I'll tell them about the Lord. I'll tell them what God has done for me. So each one of us has a story. Each one of us knows. Each one of us has had an encounter with the Spirit of God, with God, with Christ. Each one of us knows what happened at salvation, the day we answered the call of God to come into his kingdom. We can tell them. We can tell them. We can tell them. Thank you for the salvation of your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for healing our lives. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that's alive, so real in this room right now. Thank you for changing hearts, putting things together. And through all life, you rearrange and arrange people's schedules to be here tonight, to hear the word of God that might change their destiny, change their family, change their children's lives. So we thank you. We serve notice to the devil. Devil, you get your hands off our property. We are God's property. God, we belong to God. God, we are the inheritance of God. God belongs to us. We are joint heirs with Christ. Our children belong to us. They're coming in with us. We don't care what it looks like right now. We don't care if they're in bondage land. They're coming with us. They're coming out of there. They will not be. The Bible says that who can go to an enemy's camp and take back the plunder and take back the captivity from the strong men? But you can, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you can get those people in the name of Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Lord. And so, Father, we'll be vigilant, like you said. We're going to be vigilant. Watch out, as a roaring lion, the devil walks about whom he may devour. And so we're going to be vigilant. We're going to be persistent. We're going to say, no, you ain't. You're not going to do that here. You're not coming to my house. You're not going to attack my body. You're not going to attack my mind. You're not going to attack my finances. You're not going to attack my children. You're not going to attack my business. You're not going to attack my home. You're not going to attack my marriage. Get away from my wife. Get away from my husband. In the name of Jesus. We're taking our place. Everybody say, I'm taking my place as a joint heir. I'm a joint heir. It's like Jesus lives in me. The power of God is inside of me. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Amen, amen. Woo! Praise God. I want you to do something. Turn to your neighbor. Lay hands on each other right now. And bless each other by the Spirit of God. Bless each other. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to bless their lives, their bodies, their businesses, their plans, their future, their home, their cars, their dogs, their cats. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we pronounce blessings, favor upon your life. May the doors of opportunity open unto you. May the rain of heaven shine on you and the sun shine upon your life. We thank you, Lord. And we pray for our hunger of God. We pray that the hunger of God will be yours, that you will devour and be so hungry for the Word of God, and that you'll pray out the plans and the purposes of God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.